So how many of you, Deborah, go ahead and put the first slide up. How many of you guys have been in this kind of situation? Carl says to you, hey, I'll meet you at 7 p.m. at the Walmart. Cool? You say, yeah, sure, no problem. Next slide. 7 p.m. You. 8 p.m. You. 9 p.m. You. Sleeping away. Carl says, oh, yeah, I can't make it. And you say, you flaking jerk. I can't believe you flaked on me. Have you guys been in that situation before? Is that just me that I've been through that? Well, we're going to start, actually, we're going to continue a series called Dependable. And we started it last week at Easter. There are a couple reasons why I felt like this would be really important for us to talk about, why I felt like God might be leading us in direction. One is coming off of Easter, realizing how important it was to Jesus' followers that he was good for his word, that he was dependable. He told his, in fact, why don't we read our theme verse out loud together? So at the top of your outline, it starts with I, the Messiah. Let's just read that out loud together. I, the Messiah, am going to be betrayed and killed, and 3 days later, I will return to life again. Jesus said over and over again that he was going to be killed and that he was going to come back to life. And when he did, when he was good for his word, it totally changed the lives of the disciples around, and they totally believed him. So that's one reason. The second reason I want to talk about the topic of being dependable is that we live in a society, and particularly a community, that breaks a lot of its promises. We have parents that break promises on kids, employees that break promises on employers, husbands and wives that break promises on each other. And I really believe that God wants to create a new community, a community of people who are good for their word, who are good on their promises, so that they can be a blessing to the rest of the community. So that's what we're going to do. So for this week, the next several weeks, we're going to be talking about what does it mean to be trustworthy, good for our word, reliable, what does it mean to have a good reputation? And we're going to start this week with the topic of keeping a commitment. And to illustrate that, I asked my friend Scott if he would come up and do a little golf demonstration for us. So Scott's going to come on up. Why don't we give him a hand? Thank you, Scott. Do you have a ball as well, Scott? Scott, do you have a ball? All right, great. If you don't mind, Scott, if you don't mind going up on the stage, you might want to go from here. Yeah, just kind of position yourself in the center there. How many of you are actually golf players? Okay, so this illustration won't go far at all. We'll see. So go ahead and put a ball down on the ground. And Scott, what I want you to do, what I want you to do is take your hardest swing. That, just kidding, no. What I want you to do is actually without the ball.
Brandon Cook, first time using this club right.
Great. Without the ball, don't hit the ball, but just model a full swing for us.
Full swing?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Whoops. All right, there's your full swing. Okay, that's a full golf swing. All right. Now, ooh, nice, nice. I heard the wind. Now, what I want you to do, Scott, is show us the first half of the swing, from the time your swing is up to the time you connect with the ball. Don't actually connect it, but just show it. Whack. Okay, so that would be the first part of a golf swing, when you connect with the ball, right? Now, Scott, is that where a swing ends? Or is that where you stop your swing? Okay, what do you do after you connect with the ball?
Get the wrist through.
Okay. And anyone know what that part of the swing is called after you hit the ball?
Follow through.
That's follow through. Right. Now, keeping a commitment is a lot like golf in this way. When we make a promise, when we make a commitment, it's like hitting the ball. But just as important as hitting the ball is the actual follow through. Anyone know what happens if we don't have follow through in a golf swing? Say again? Yeah, it's a bad shot, right? It's a bad shot. That follow-through really counts for making the hit good. And yeah, it messes up the shot. The other thing I read that's really interesting is if you continue to hit balls without follow-through, you actually hurt your body after a while. There's something about that stop motion that actually begins to hurt you. And so, thank you, Scott. Good job. Thanks, Scott. So when we make a promise, it's like connecting with the ball. But just as important with connecting the ball is our follow-through after the promise. That makes a huge difference in terms of our reliability. So what I'm talking about is things like when we say, yes, I'll do it, or yeah, I'll be there, or yeah, I'll show up, or you can count on me, or I'll call you. We make those kinds of commitments all the time. And what happens a lot is that we don't always follow through on that, and it really ruins our dependability and how people see us. So let me just talk a little bit about why promises are so important. Why are promises important? Well, number one is broken promises burden others. broken promises burden others. One of the best stories in the Bible about this is the story of Joseph. If you haven't read the story of Joseph, I really encourage you. It's in the end of Genesis. And I won't go through the whole story, but there's one situation in Joseph's life where he is put in prison unfairly. He's accused of a crime he didn't commit, and he's actually put in prison unfairly. And it ends up that over time, one of his cellmates is the chief officer of the king of Egypt, of the Pharaoh. So he's in prison in Egypt, and one of his cellmates is the chief officer. Well, one night, the chief officer has this awful dream. Or actually, it was a dream that disturbed him. He woke up, didn't know what to do with it, and so Joseph interprets the dream for him. And Joseph says, what this dream means, is that you're going to get released from prison and start working for Pharaoh again. And the chief officer was like, great. And Joseph says, but will you promise me that when you get out, will you tell the king about me? Tell him my situation. Tell him that I was the one to help interpret your dream. And the chief officer said, sure, I'll do that. Sure enough, the dream comes true. The chief officer is released from prison. He begins to work for Pharaoh again, but he totally forgets to mention Joseph. Just totally forgets. 2 years later, Pharaoh has a dream and is disturbed by the dream. The chief officer has an aha moment. And let's read the verse here. It says, the chief officer who served wine to the king said to him, now I remember something I promised to do, but I forgot about it. 2 years later, the chief officer remembers. That means for 2 years extra, Joseph was sitting in prison, living a prison life because this guy forgot to follow through on a promise. And Joseph paid the price for that. When we don't keep our promises, someone pays the burden for that. You've got to realize that when you break a promise, someone pays for it. Someone once said that a promise made is like a debt unpaid. It's like we actually owe people when we make promises. An example of this is many years ago, before I was married, in fact, it was one of the first weddings I'd ever been to. I was inviting a friend and I were invited to a friend of ours' wedding. Her name was, I won't say her name because I won't embarrass her, but she invited us to her wedding, and my roommate and I said, yeah, we'll go, thank you. We RSVP'd, sent it in, we were all excited. A few days before the wedding, another friend calls us and said he's going camping and hiking. Do we want to join him? And we're like, wedding? Camping? Camping. And so we forget the wedding. We go camping. We go hiking. Have a great weekend. We loved it. 2 weeks later, our friend comes back for her honeymoon. She goes, where were you guys? And we said, oh, we ended up going camping instead. And she said, do you know that we paid $75 for each of you for the reception and you didn't show up? We're like, whoops, I had no idea. Now that I've actually been married and done this, I understand how this works. But the point is, our breaking the promise cost her something. When we don't follow through, it brings burden to others. If you're on a soccer team or a baseball team and you don't show up, the rest of the team pays for it. So one of the reasons promises are so important is that when we don't keep them, they burden other people. We like to believe that our words and our promises don't affect other people, but they actually do. They really do. Number two is broken promises mean that people won't trust you in the future. Broken promises mean that people won't trust you in the future. You guys are familiar with the story, The Boy Who Cried Wolf. It's about a boy who's a shepherd of sheep. He's bored, and so he yells, wolf. And all the townspeople come, and they're like, where's the wolf? Oh, there is no wolf. I was just bored. He does it again. Same thing happens. The third time, a wolf actually shows up, and the townspeople don't believe him. They don't show up, and all his sheep are eaten. The same thing happens for us when we break promises over and over again. It's pretty soon, people just don't believe us anymore. We've lost trust. We've lost reliability. People don't believe us when we give us their word. Our reputation is ruined. And so that happens for us as well. And what will happen is whether or not people actually say it, they'll begin to label you and to make slight judgments about who you are. They'll begin to say, oh, so-and-so, yeah, he said that, but he's not that reliable. We don't trust him. Jesus tells a story of a guy who went out to build a tower. And he told everyone he was going to build the tower, but then he ended up not following through, and people began to label him. Look at this verse. This man, they say, this man began to build, but can't finish the job, they will say. The people will begin to label you, and you'll begin to ruin your reputation. Benjamin Franklin once said, the best way to turn friends into enemies is to break promises with them. It's the quickest way. Keep making promises and keep not following through. That's a sure way to lose friends. So promises are important because when we break them, they really do burden other people, and then people begin not to believe us in the future. Let's talk about, what do we know about God's promises? What kind of promiser is God? Let's just read these verses together. Why don't we read them out loud? We'll start with the one that says, the one who called you. Let's read that out loud. The one who called you is completely dependable. If he said it, he'll do it. That's great. The one who called you, God, is completely dependable. If he says something, he's going to follow through. And you and I know people like that. People who, when they say they're going to do something, we just know they're going to do it. Because they're good for their word. You guys have those kinds of friends? You can just, they say they're going to do something, and you go, I trust you. I know you're going to follow through. Do people have friends like that? All right, three of us. Okay, we need more friends like that. That's why we're giving this sermon, right? But those friends are great because when you tell them something, they say they're going to do it, you just relax because you know they're going to take care of it. And God is the supreme example of that. That's who God is. When he gives a promise, he is going to do it. So when you're reading your Bible and you read a promise, God says, because I said it, I will do it. I am that reliable. Let's read this second verse out loud together. It starts with, but I tell you. But I tell you that men will have to get, whoops, I'm reading the wrong verse. That's God. If we are not faithful, let's do that one. If we are not faithful, he still will be faithful. Christ cannot deny who he is. That means if we blow it, if we're not good for our promises, if we tell people things and don't follow through, we tell God things and don't follow through, that doesn't affect Jesus' reliability with us. He will still keep his promises to us because that's who he is. He can't be any other way. Jesus will be reliable even if we're not reliable. And that's a relief to me. That's a huge relief because that means even if I'm blowing it, Jesus is good for his promises. And for someone like me, that's really important because there are nights where I'm staying awake trying to figure out what's going on the next day or the next week, and it's overwhelming. And then I just remember and I take hold of God's promises, and I remember he's good for his word. He is. I can trust that. And so in my best moments, I let God's promises cover me like a blanket, and I sleep wonderful because we know he can't be any other way. This is the God we follow. God is good for his word. And so we can feel that way, and so that's why in this next verse, in Proverbs 35, let's read that one out loud, every word. Every word of God proves true. He is a shield to all who come to him for protection. Every word that God says, it proves true, and he is a shield. He is our protection because he's good for his word, and we can rely on him and trust him. Now, how important to God are your promises? How important to God are the promises you make? Well, the answer is very, very, very important. They're incredibly important. Proverbs 12:22 says, God delights in those who keep their promises. He delights in people who keep their promises. He loves it. And he abhors those who don't. He really hates it when we give people our word, we say something, and we don't follow through. Because he knows how important his promises are to us, and he wants us to be that same kind of blessing to other people. In Matthew 12:36, it says, but I tell you that men will have to give an account on the day of judgment for every careless word they have spoken. There's going to be a day where our words are held to account, and so our words aren't to be said lightly. Our promises really do matter. They matter to God. And they matter to other people. Make sense? So the question is, well, how do we become a person whose word is as good as gold? How do we become a person that when we make a promise, people go, I know that person's going to follow through. I trust them so much. How do we build other people's confidence in our promises? Well, there are five biblical keys I want to go through that will help build other people's trust in your word. Number one is to promise slowly. Promise slowly. Ecclesiastes 5:5 says, it's better not to make a promise at all than to make one and not keep it. It's better to not make a promise at all than to make one and not keep it. I read this quote from Napoleon. He said, you don't want to know how to be a person who really keeps their promises? You want to know how to really get good at promises? Don't make them in the first place. You're sure to do well. That's the way to be a really good promise keeper. Just don't make them. Now, I don't totally agree with him. I think there are actually times where promises are really good and really important and very essential. But here's the thing. When you tell people you're going to do something, they might actually believe you. They might actually think you're being serious. So the point is, when you make promise, make them slowly. Don't make them right away. Take your time. Make sure you know what you're saying. Make sure you're thinking about what you're saying. Just remember this. Promises are like babies. Here's a good illustration. Promises are like babies. They're easy to make, but they're hard to deliver. All right? So the promises, they come out of your mouth very quickly, but the follow-through is the hardest thing. And so we want to slow down when we make our promises. Now, here are two times when we shouldn't make promises, two times where you should not make promises. The first is when you're really excited, and you're really feeling excited in the moment. And the reason is excitement and passion, they're like it's like building a campfire out of newspaper. Have you guys done that? It lights up real quick, but it disappears just as quickly. And so when you make promises when you're feeling passionate, that passion may be gone the next day or the next week, and you're going to regret some of those promises. So the key is, in the midst of great joy, do not promise anyone anything. In fact, Jesus had this example. Peter, Jesus' best buddy, his main follower, was hanging out with Jesus. They're having such a great time. Peter is very passionate for Jesus. Jesus says, I'm going to die soon. And Peter says, Jesus, I will die with you. I will go to the grave with you. And Jesus looks at him and says, Peter, before next morning, you're going to tell three people you don't even know me. Because Jesus understood that in passion, we make some promises that we can't keep. In the excitement, we can't do it. So when you're feeling excitement about something, before you volunteer or say yes, just take a moment and promise slowly. Realize that passion may disappear and wait until you're a little more level-headed and calm so that your promise actually means something. The second time you don't want to make a promise is when you're just trying to look good and trying to save face. You kind of just want to make a good impression because those promises never last. It's in some of our cultures, including mine, it's much easier when someone asks you to do something just to say yes, but then kind of let it go, hoping that they won't notice. And that people begin not to trust you after a while. And you think you're saving face, but actually you're ruining your reputation. Jesus tells a story of a father who has two sons. And the father asks his two sons to work in the vineyard with him. And the first son says, no, Dad, I'm not going to help you. But later on, that son changes his mind and actually works with the father in the vineyard. The second son says, yeah, Dad, I'll help you. But that second son never helps out. So Jesus tells the story, and he tells his asks his listeners, which one actually did what the father wanted? And they all said, well, the first son, the one that said no but actually did it. And she says, exactly. And the principle is this. It's a lot easier to go from a no to a yes than it is to go from a yes to a no. A lot easier. So we want to promise slowly. We want to make sure that we're not just trying to look good like that son saying, oh yeah, Dad, I'll help, and then not do it because it will hurt people and ruin our reputation. We want to promise slowly and make sure we go from a no to a yes. Now here's what I've observed, and I've been working in ministry for a long time, and I ask lots of people to help volunteer, and here's what I've observed. The people who are slowest to make the promise are usually the most reliable to fulfill it. The people who say, you know, let me think about it, let me get back to you, and they start thinking through, what will this cost me? What will this involve in my time? How will this affect my family? How much money will this cost? What will I have to say no to? Those people who take their time with the promise, when they actually say yes to me, I know they're going to do it. On the other hand, the people who like are really excited, oh, yeah, sure, I feel a little hesitant because I'm like, you know, they said yes quick. They might say no quickly, too. So the principle here is when you promise slowly, you're able to count the cost. This was true for me and my family. We moved here, gosh, a year and a half ago now, and we just started Edgewater recently. But that move was huge for us. And I want you to know that move didn't come in a sudden passion flash. It wasn't like we felt like God was saying, go start a church, and we said, okay, and we left. Actually, God started speaking to us years earlier, at least 2 years before that. God began to put in our hearts the idea of starting a church. But we realized that that would be really huge. It would mean change of income and salary. It would mean moving and relocating our family. It would mean leaving our friends. It would mean we don't know what's going to happen. All these things were played into that. And to make that decision required 2 years of us talking and praying, working with friends, getting their input, so that when we finally did decide, we knew we were here for good. We wanted to count the cost. We didn't want to make this a quick decision, and then when bad things happened, to move back. But can you imagine if we made that decision quickly? What would have happened? There's something really good about promising slowly, promising slowly. Jesus says in Luke 14:28, if one of you is planning to build a tower, you sit down first and work out what it will cost to see if you have enough money to finish the job. In other words, think through the cost. Ask the hard questions. If I do this, how will it affect my time? How will it affect my schedule? How will it affect my finances? What will I have to say no to if I'm going to say yes to this? You guys get the point. So here's my tip to you guys. If someone asks you to do something and you don't want to promise too quickly, here's the line. Say, you know what, can I think about it and get back to you? Now, that's a promise in itself, so you actually have to get back to them. But it gives you some time just to say, you know, I'm interested, but I want to think this through and let me get back to you. So the principle is when someone asks you to do something, respond quickly. Get back to them quickly. If someone leaves you an email or a voicemail or text messages you and asks for something, get back to them right away because it's helpful for them to hear back from you. But you don't have to decide right away. You can say, thanks for asking me. I'm interested, or maybe I'm not, but let me just take a little time to think about it. Let me get back to you. And then you want to get back to them. Does that make sense? Promise slowly. Count the cost. Build people's trust in who you are. Number two is really related. Number two is record responsibly. Record responsibly. Someone once said that one must have a very good memory to be able to keep all the promises that one makes. And this is true for me. I have an awful memory. I really do. If you ask me what I'm doing tomorrow, I really don't know. I really don't. If you ask me what I did yesterday, I have to stop and think about it. And the reason is so much is going through my head every day that I just have so much, I just can't keep it all in my head. And, you know, I think the same is true for all of us, is that so much is going on, and it's just so much that to really be reliable, you have to start recording responsibly. Ron and Ema make fun of me because some of you guys have seen me use this thing. You guys know what I'm talking about. This is my Palm Trio. I have everything on this thing, my calendar, my to-do list. But what it has on it is a voice recorder. And I use it all the time because often I'll be hanging out with Greg and I'll tell Greg, hey, yeah, Greg, I'll do that for you. And so I'll pull this out and I'll record a little voice memo to myself and put it back in my pocket. And people make fun of me and I give you permission to make fun of me, but it's the only way I can remember because every day I go through those and I write them down on my list and I follow through them. But I need something because I will start making those promises and totally forget. I don't have that kind of memory. And most of us don't with all the kinds of promises that we're making. So we want to record responsibly. When God was working with the Israelites and he wanted them to remember all the laws he was giving them, look at what he said in Deuteronomy. Trying to find it. Why am I lost in my notes. Does someone want to read out loud? Here it is, Deuteronomy 6, 8 through 9. This is what he says. Tie them to your hands and wear them on your forehead as reminders. In other words, I want you to remember so badly what I'm telling you, I want you to tie things on your hands and wear them on your foreheads. Write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. In other words, just get it down so you remember, because I know you guys, you're going to forget. So each person is different. You need to figure out what works for you in terms of remembering the commitments you make. Some of you, it's just a paper calendar or a to-do list. Whatever your system is, find something out so that you record it and you can follow up on it and you can be reliable. Does that make sense? Cool. Key number three is follow through generously. Follow through generously. If you really want to impress people and you really want them to trust you, and you really want to build up a reputation of being dependable, always do more than you say. Always produce more than you promise. Always go the extra step. So make the promise, but then what you actually do, go well beyond what you actually promise. Colossians 3:23 says, whatever your task, put yourselves into it. Whatever you're committed to, really put yourself into it. Go all the way. I asked my wife if I can share the story because it's about a former girlfriend, and she said yes, so I can share it. But when I was dating someone in high school, actually it was my first year in college, and I was dating this lady, and it was our one-year anniversary dating. And I was telling my friend that, you know, my girlfriend was going to fly up and that we were going to do something for our one-year anniversary. And my friend Thomas said, you know, do you want me to plan something for you guys so that you don't have to worry about it? I'm like, are you serious? You'll actually plan something for us? He's like, yeah. And can I call your friends? We'll all be in on it. I'm like, sure. So he's like, okay, all I want you to do is on the night, you know, you're going to celebrate, just be in your room ready at 6 p.m. and dress up. I said, okay. And so I really had no idea. All Thomas promised is that he would do something for me. And at 6 p.m. I get a call from another friend. He's like, sir, your limo is ready. I'm the chauffeur. I'm like, excuse me? He's like, come down. I'm like, okay. I come down, and my other friend's dressed in a tux. He takes me to, it wasn't a limo, but it was a car, and he sits me down, and then he goes and gets, you know, my girlfriend at the time, and she comes in, and he drives us. I have no idea where he's taking us. He doesn't drive stick, and this car is a stick, so we're like stalling a lot and going all over. It was really funny. So we finally get to the place. I get in, and they have rearranged their living room to make this dining room, and we sit down, and someone comes in, another friend of mine who plays flute. He comes in and does a little flute solo for us as we're sitting. Another person comes in. He pretends he's a tourist, so he's taking pictures of us. They serve us steak and lobster. They had never made lobster before, so it was ice cold. It was awful, but I appreciated what they were doing. We had the steak lobster dinner. Afterwards, a few friends do this drama performance for us. I mean, they're acting in front of us, and we're sitting watching all this. And, you know, it just kept going on and on and on. And I was just like, what the heck? And my only regret about the evening is I was with the wrong woman. I mean, I met the love of my life 10 years later, and I'm like, that would have been so bad. Perfect with Becky. We broke up, and it was over. But Becky, I haven't looked back. But I just thought, you know, what do you guys think? Do you think my trust in Thomas increased or decreased after that? Increased. Because he followed through generously. His only promise was, let me do something for you guys. But he went well, way beyond what he promised. And my trust in him grew tremendously, because I know not only is he good for his word, but when he does something, he does it to his fullest all the way. And I have learned that if you really want to grow people's trust in you, when you make your promises, when you fulfill them, go beyond what you promised. Surprise them. Do the extra thing. Go the extra mile. And watch them. Watch them do. Watch them how they respond to you and trust you in the future. Follow through generously. Now, we don't want to be legalistic. There are times where you've promised slowly, you've recorded responsibly, but something comes up and it conflicts with what you promised and you can't fulfill your promise. What do you do when something else comes up and you realize you already gave your word to someone? Well, that's key number four, and it's notify early. Notify early. Points this is that when you realize that when something comes up and you realize you can't fulfill a promise you already made, don't wait until the last minute to tell people. And don't hope that it will just pass by. Like, hey, if I just don't show up or I don't follow through, they won't notice. They will. And it burdens them. So let them know as soon as possible. Call the person right away. Explain to them what happened. Apologize. Now, here's the thing. If you've made a commitment and another thing comes by, you always want to do your best to prioritize that first commitment because you already made your promise to those people. So in most cases, you want to say, you know what, I already committed here. I'm sorry I had to say no. But there are times when things come up. Families show up all of a sudden. You didn't realize it. There's an emergency in the family. Someone's hospitalized where you realize, you know, I didn't make this promise, but I really do need to prioritize this other thing. So the key is to prioritize your first commitment. But sometimes you've got to do the other thing. So notify people early and make sure you don't wait till the last minute. Look at Proverbs 6, 2 through 4 here. Solomon writes, "You may have trapped yourself by your agreement. Quick, get out of it if you possibly can. Swallow your pride." In other words, don't try to just save face and not say anything, but actually swallow your pride and talk to the person. Don't let embarrassment stand in the way. Go and beg to have your name erased. Don't put it off. Do it now. Don't rest until you do. What he's saying is when you realize you have to get out of a promise, do it quickly. Let the people know right away so that they can make up for you not being able to follow through. Don't wait till the last minute. Don't hope that they'll just won't notice. But be responsible and say, hey, I made this promise. I'm sorry I can't make it. I'll let you know right away. Now, when you do that, you also want to think through. Remember what we said, that broken promises burden other people. So you want to think through, what are some of the consequences of me not being able to fulfill my promise? In other words, what will it cost the other person? And what you want to do is think through, is there anything I can do? Even though I can't make good on this promise, is there anything I can do to help alleviate the burden that they might feel because I can't come through? And if you can do something, help out that way. If you said you're going to help out some way and you can't anymore, you know, maybe you can call a friend to substitute for you. It's that kind of thing. You want to think through what are the consequences and try to help out. Does that make sense? So notify early. An example is actually here at Stoneman Elementary School. I met with a principal a few months ago, and I said, you know, as a church, we want to help the school. What are some ways that we could help out? And she said, you know, the number one need of our kids here is they need older adults who care about them. because there are so many kids here who have parents who just don't know what they're doing, and so many kids here without father figures. And what people really need, what the kids really need, is just adults that love them. And so, we were talking. I said, well, if you had an hour of my time every week for 6 weeks, what would you want me to do? She said, just come and play with the kids for an hour. I'm like, are you serious? I get paid for this? She's like, yeah, come. So that's what I've been doing for 3 weeks. I've been coming in recess. The first half hour, I'm with the first and second graders, and we play soccer. The second half hour, I'm with the third and fourth graders, and we play basketball. And I love it. And we've developed a little community. The first half hour, there's like 25 kids who just surround me. It's a very affirming thing. You know, if you don't feel good about yourself, just hang out with little kids, because they're all around me. They're loving me. And we just play this silly game that they love, but all I do is I get the soccer ball, and I kick it as high as I possibly can, and they go out, and they try to catch it and hit it, and they get it back to me, and they want more and more of that, and it's just, they love it. And so I'm holding the ball, and all the kids are yelling, higher, high, because they want me to go higher than I kicked before, and it's just a fun time. They love it. Second half hour, I play with a few kids. They all play basketball, and if it weren't because of my height, they would totally beat me, because they're much better than I am, but I'm taller, so I can dominate, and it's fun. But when I play with them, well, not last Monday, but the Monday before, Becky and I had dinner, Sunday night, we had dinner, and I think I got food poisoning, because that night I was tremendously sick. I was up all night, just not doing well, didn't sleep a wink, and that morning I was supposed to go to Stoneman Elementary School to help out, and I just couldn't do it, so I called right away. Now, the thing is, I could have not showed up, and it wouldn't have been a big deal. You know, no one really notices me, but then I realized these kids are used to adults flaking on them. I mean, that's their life. And if I just don't show up, that's just going to feed into what they already know. So I called the school, and I said, hey, I'm really sick. Can you let, and I named the person who's in charge of recess, let her know that I can't make it, and for them to tell the kids I can't make it. And she's like, yeah, sure, no problem. And then I realized, you know, I said 6 weeks, and I can't make it this week, so I'm going to add a week at the end. And the point is, it's not a big deal, but these little things build reliability. They build dependability. You're saying that, you're notifying early, you're saying, I can't make it, I want you to know, and you're thinking through, what are the consequences? Well, the consequences are, I'm not playing with the kids for a week, and I want to make up for that, so I'm going to add it to the tail end. Does that make sense? Notify early. Think through the consequences. Now, some of you may be hearing this, and you just might be feeling overwhelmed. You're like, what if you're just not good at this? You're thinking, oh my gosh, this is so not like me. I make promises all the time I don't follow through. How the heck am I going to get good at this? And I just want to say, let me encourage you. God is on your side. If you let him, he will fill you with his spirit and begin to change your character so you'll become more responsible. And basically, here's my encouragement. This is key number 5, is begin simply. Begin simply. Keeping a commitment is a character quality that takes time to develop. And the way to grow into this is to start simply. And here's my challenge for you. This week, make one promise to someone and follow through. Make one promise to someone and follow through. Think through it, promise slowly, write it down, record responsibly, and then follow through generously and keep it. But start simple. The point is, if you're going to start exercising, you don't start your first day running a marathon. You know, if you're going to start weightlifting, you don't start benching 400 pounds. You start simply. You take the baby steps, and you let God help you as you begin the baby steps become more and more reliable. So start simple and be reliable with your promise. Jesus says in Luke 16:10, whoever can be trusted with a little can also be trusted with a lot. In other words, God's looking for you to be faithful with the small things so he can begin to give you bigger things. I saw this come alive when I was volunteering at Fresno one summer. There's an institute called Hope Now for Youth. It's a Christian institute that takes youth who've been involved in gangs and want to get out of the gang lifestyle. It helps them get out of the gang lifestyle and gives them jobs so they can employ themselves. And what this institute does, this organization does, is they partner up with companies who are willing to hire ex-gang members. But they're smart. They don't put ex-gang members straight into a corporate job. They realize that to get from here to there, these people need to take baby steps. So they start calling churches and say, hey, and they call members of churches, do you guys have any yard work that you need done? Something simple. And so they have all these volunteers who are allowing people to do yard work for them. And so they invite these ex-gang members to come and show up at 8 a.m. and do yard work for a few hours. And all that is a simple thing for them to practice. And if they don't show up at 8 a.m., they know that they can't do this corporate job. But if they do show up at 8 a.m. and they work faithfully, then the next time they'll give them a little more and a little more until the point where they can get them into these corporate jobs and they do fine. And I thought that's a good illustration for us in terms of becoming people who are more true to our word, is we start simple. Start with the small things and be faithful with those small things first. And as we are faithful with that, God increases our responsibility. God gives us more, and he trusts us with more, and people will trust you with more. Begin simply. It's not the maker of plans and promises, but rather the one who offers small service in small matters, faithful service in small matters. That's the kind of person who's most likely to achieve what's good and lasting. Your boss is looking for you to be consistent with the small things. He or she wants to know that when they delegate something small, you will be faithful to it. Your kids, if you have kids, want to know whether you're going to be faithful to the small things. All those comments I make as a dad, yeah, Nathan, not today, we'll do it tomorrow. They're waiting for me to do it tomorrow. Your spouse is looking for you to be consistent with the small things. It's the small things that build trust over time, rather than going for the big thing right away. So begin simply. Begin simply. What you want is for you to be the kind of person that when you say something, people around you say, that person's word is as good as gold. We trust that person. We know they're reliable. We know they're good for their word because of how faithful they've been in the past. You want to be, and just like Jesus says in Matthew 5, you want to be so that you can just say a simple, yes, I will, or no, I won't. Jesus says your word should be enough. So again, my practical assignment for you this week is to think through one promise you want to make. Make it to someone and follow through. Do it. And be generous when you follow through. Go overboard. Practice the discipline of keeping a commitment and make that a pattern so the more and more God entrusts you with, the more and more you can be reliable. The Bible tells a story about a woman named Ruth whose husband passed away, whose husband died. And the mother of her husband, her mother-in-law, it was her only son left. And Ruth made a commitment to her mother-in-law. She said, Mom-in-law, wherever you go, I will stay with you. You're lonely, I'm lonely. Wherever you go, I will stay with you. Well, the mother-in-law ended up moving back to her home country, which was a foreign country for Ruth. She'd never been there before. It was a different language, a different culture. And Ruth decided to go with her mother-in-law. She made the promise. Her mother-in-law moved, and she decided to go for it. Well, as she's living in this foreign land, a man named Boaz, who's very wealthy, notices her. And he's extremely kind to her and really generous with her. And Ruth is shocked. And listen to what she says. This is in your notes. Ruth bowed down to the ground and said, you know I come from another country. Why are you so good to me? And Boaz answered, I've heard how you have helped your mother-in-law ever since your husband died. You even left your own father and mother to come and live in a foreign land among people you don't know. Boaz says, I've heard about you. Your reputation precedes you. You made a commitment to your mother-in-law, and even when it got difficult, you followed through. I've heard of you. I know what kind of woman you are. You're the kind that is good for her word, that's reliable, that's trustworthy. That's the exact kind of reputation you and I want to build. When people go, oh, I've heard of you. You're good for your word. I know when you promised me something, I can relax because you're trustworthy. That's the kind of reputation you want to build with those around you, with your family, your workmates, and your friends. I just want to end by saying how important this is to our goal as a church. Can you imagine if God raised up a church that was really good for its word? That said that when we want to commit to our community, we really did. I really believe that God wants to build a community within this community of people who love God so much, who are holding on to his promises and are the same way with other people. We are just giving to other people what we're receiving from God, that we are dependable. We care for you because we know God cares for you. Can you imagine a church, a community of people like ourselves that learn to be good for our word together, know how to keep a commitment? Can you imagine the power that would have in this community? Let's be that together. Amen? Amen. All right, so will you take just a moment, the bottom of your outline, will you just fill that in? It says, this week, I want to practice follow through in this area of my life. Will you just take a moment right now? What do you want to follow through in this area this week? You guys got it? Now, if you really want to, you can actually tell someone else what you promised so they can follow up with you, because I won't be able to do that. But practice it this week. Do it. Think through what it will cost you. Write it down somewhere. Remember it. Don't forget. Use whatever system you need to just to remember it. Be generous. Follow through generously. Go above and beyond what you just promised. Surprise the person. And see what God does. See what God does. Let's pray. God, I pray that you would help us become more like you. Lord, you say that when you say something, you're going to do it. And I pray that would be true for us, Lord. Teach us to keep our commitments and be good for our word and be reliable and be dependable. And I just want to pray for those of you right now who, as we're going through the word together, you realize that you've never experienced this kind of faithfulness. You've never experienced someone who's been that dependable with you. And I just want to invite you to receive Jesus, that Jesus wants to be that person for you. So I'm just going to lead you in a prayer right now. God, I have never experienced someone this dependable for me before. Will you be my new father and be that person for me? God, I give you my life and I trust you. And we all say together, amen. Amen. Amen.